The general outline of Acts is derived from Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The witness of the disciples in Jerusalem is found in the first 7 chapters, in Judea and Samaria in chapters 8 and 9, and to the uttermost part of the earth. You notice part is singular. It's referring to Rome. To the uttermost part of the earth in 9:32 through 28:31. It begins with Peter's preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, followed by the planting of the church in Antioch and the persecution by Herod and Herod's subsequent death. Saul's, or Paul's, missionary journey with Barnabas is recorded in 13 and 14 and is followed by the council at Jerusalem in 15:1-35. His second missionary journey, this time it will be with Silas, will occur in 15:36-18:22. Now, a lot of years has passed since the crucifixion. The crucifixion would be somewhere in the vicinity of AD 30. The council at Jerusalem is fairly well established at 49, AD 49. So 19 to 20 years later after the crucifixion. Now, in this morning's message, as we begin a study of the council at Jerusalem in Acts, we begin a study of the council at Jerusalem in Acts 15:1-35, and I'm going to take 2 weeks to complete this study, and if I don't get my tongue working better, we're liable to take 4 weeks, okay? Sorry about that. Somehow, I brushed my teeth this morning, can't do a thing with them. In Acts 15, we see the council at Jerusalem. A problem arose in Antioch. Churches have problems from time to time. So did this one. Some men came from Judea and were teaching the Christians in Antioch that it was necessary to be circumcised in accordance with the Mosaic law in order to be saved. Of course, that's wrong. This false teaching resulted in a confrontation with Paul and Barnabas, which you would expect. From this, we learn that we must always be careful to maintain correct doctrine as well as correct practice in our church in Hendersonville. As a result, the church at Antioch determined that Paul and Barnabas and others should consult with the apostles and elders in the church at Jerusalem regarding this matter. Today, we must continually compare our teaching and our practice with what the scriptures actually say to make certain both are accurate. Now, while on their way to Jerusalem, Paul and his group, it's about a 300-mile trip, remember, and they're probably walking. Paul and his group passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, where they declared the conversion of the Gentiles, which brought great joy to the believers. When Paul and his company arrived in Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church, including the apostles and elders, and Paul and Barnabas reported on their missionary journey. In this meeting in Jerusalem, some saved Pharisees stated that it was necessary that Gentiles be circumcised and keep the Mosaic law. As a result of their claim, the apostles and elders assembled to consider the matter. After much discussion, Peter arose and reminded those present that God had saved Gentiles through his presentation of the gospel. Now, here's where I'm making a change from your notes. I've listed two passages of scripture here. Please note that the two scriptural passages which follow refer to similar but to different events, although some view them as referring to the same event. And I'm speaking of Acts 15 and Galatians 2. Now here's the change. In the interest of time, due to the quarterly business meeting following this service, I will not be dealing with this in this section of my notes except to read Acts 1 or 15, 1 through 11. However, you have the notes on Galatians 2, 1 through 10, and my comments also. And when it is convenient, you should consider what I have written for your own benefit, but I will not take the time to go through that here in our morning service. I will, however, go through Acts 15, 1 through 11, and leave Galatians 2, 1 through 10 for another time. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we, meaning we Jews, shall be saved even as they, meaning even as the Gentiles. Now, in your notes, skip to the middle of page 3, where it says, according to Acts 15:1. Acts 15:1. And I'll start in again there. Due to the quarterly business meeting, which will follow this service, in the interest of time, I have decided to skip this section of my notes. This section I am skipping indicates the reasons I do not believe that Galatians 2, 1 through 10 refers to the same event as Acts 15, but that they refer to two different events which are separated in time by at least 5 or 6 years, maybe more. All right, so over to where we're going to be, and in your notes, it's going to be starting in the beginning of middle of chapter 3, according to Acts 15, 1. I hope you found that place and are not struggling too much. Sorry for that, but my plans changed as a result, and I didn't change my plans until after I had printed your notes. So be it. We'll just live with it. According to Acts 15, 1, some men came from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the Christians in Antioch that it was necessary to be circumcised in accordance with the Mosaic law in order to be saved. Verse 1 says, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. And continues the narrative. Certain men is some, and it's masculine, it's also plural, which came down from Judea is who having descended from Judea. Remember, Judea was at a higher elevation than Antioch based on where they came from and what they were teaching. These men were evidently Jews, and they descended in elevation to get to Antioch. They taught means they were teaching. Its tense denotes continuing or repeated action in past time. So they didn't just do this once. They were doing it repeatedly. Now, if you were the pastor of that church or of this church, and somebody came in here teaching you that you needed to be baptized in order to get saved and go to heaven, you can just count on it very quickly. The men and I would put a stop to it as quickly as we could, because we would consider what the Bible says. And it doesn't say anything about having to be baptized in order to go to heaven. And if you're thinking that that's how you're going to get to heaven, you need to get saved, all right? Or if somebody came in and started saying that we should be supporting churches that are liberal, that don't believe the Bible to be the Word of God, you know good and well what we would do with that. We'd put a stop to it, just like they tried to do here. We'd go to the Scriptures to demonstrate it. They went to the apostles in Jerusalem. They were teaching this. The brethren is the brothers, and refers to the believers in the church at Antioch. And these are the ones being taught this, as indicated by the italics, and said has been supplied by the translators. What these Jews were saying is, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. There's nothing in doubt about what they were saying. This is what they were saying. It means unless you are circumcised, or if you are not circumcised after the manner of Moses, suggests in the custom of Moses or according to the custom of Moses, ye cannot be saved. It means you are not able to be saved. You are not able to be delivered from sin and its consequences. This teaching is false. It is heresy, and it's also something that Paul wrote about in his epistle to the Galatians, which had already been written by this time. They were adding circumcision to faith in Christ as a requirement for salvation. Thus, they were rejecting faith in Christ's finished work on the cross at Calvary as the only means of salvation. By doing this, their gospel was changed, and it would save no one. It meant that in order to be truly saved, believers would have to become Jews. Well, that's just not right biblically, is it? Well, according to verse 2, just as it should, the false teaching about the necessity of circumcision for salvation resulted in a confrontation of these false teachers with Paul and Barnabas. As a result, the church at Antioch determined that Paul and Barnabas and others should consult with the apostles and elders in the church at Jerusalem regarding this matter. If something such as this were ever to happen in our church, we must consult the scriptures as our authority. We hope nothing like this ever does come to pass. But most of us weren't born yesterday, all right? And we've seen these things happen in other churches. So why should we be shocked if somebody tried to teach something false in our church? When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. Therefore introduces an inference drawn from the previous verse. It's understood in the sense of consequently, accordingly, then, or so. When Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them is used in conjunction with determined. It indicates either time or cause, and its action occurred before the action of determined. It has been translated as showing time, and it's understood in the sense of after there was not a little dissension and disputation with Paul and Barnabas toward or against them. It's possible to show cause. If so, it's understood in the sense of because, since, inasmuch as, or in view of the fact that Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them. You know that both of those things mean the same thing. They had a fight on their hands, didn't they? This false teaching flew in the face of Paul and Barnabas' missionary journey and what Paul wrote in Galatians. No small means not a little and implies much or great. So no small dissension means great dissension, great disputation or discussion. Dissension speaks of a lack of agreement in the sense of strife or discord or disunion. Disputation is dispute or discussion. And it's apparent that neither side in the discussion was willing to give in to the other side's position. With them, where them refers to the Jews who had come to Antioch, who were teaching that circumcision was necessary for salvation, is toward them or against them. They determine. It's not really clear who they is. It may refer to the leaders or the believers, including the leaders in the church at Antioch. And it implies they determined what needed to be done. What they determined was that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders. Well, today, we would appeal to the scriptures as our authority. Who certain other or some others of them were, or how many of them were there were, is not stated. Should go up to Jerusalem, suggests should ascend or should go up unto Jerusalem. Unto the apostles and elders suggests unto the leadership in the church at Jerusalem, where the apostles were located. Now James, the son of Zebedee, had been martyred about 5 years earlier in AD 44. And that's one of the reasons I had that section in there about Galatians, because when Paul and Barnabas went up on the trip that's mentioned in Galatians, James was one of the ones they consulted with. The elders refers to the pastors of the church. About this question is concerning this controversial question or this controversial issue. The question was whether circumcision was necessary for salvation. Of course, it wasn't. and being sent by the church in Antioch, and while on their way to Jerusalem, Paul and his group passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, where they declared the conversion of the Gentiles, which brought joy to the believers. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren. Being brought on their way by the church refers to Paul, Barnabas, and the others sent by the church at Antioch. A word appears in the Greek text which was not translated into the English, and it indicates that an inference is being drawn in the sense of therefore, consequently, accordingly, then, or so. What does being brought on their way by the church mean? It's they have been sent on their way by the church. And it's used in conjunction with passed through, indicating time. Its action occurred before the action of passed through. In other words, they were sent before they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria. It is understood in the sense of after they had been sent on their way by the church. To be sent on their way by the church means that the church provided things such as money, food, and means of travel. We see that phrase several times in the New Testament. It means to have the provisions needed to travel. Might include money, might include food, it might include the means of travel, it might even include some traveling companions. They passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, where they is Paul, Barnabas, and the traveling companions is they went or traveled through or traveled, they went through or traveled through Phoenicia and Samaria as they headed toward Jerusalem. Well, they didn't waste their time as they were going. They were declaring, is telling in detail. And it's used in conjunction with pass through. It indicates a fact in addition to they pass through. Its action was ongoing and occurring at the same time as the action of pass through. And it's understood in the sense of they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria and they were declaring or telling in detail. And what they were declaring was the conversion of the Gentiles, which refers to the change in the belief of these Gentiles. They were no longer trusting in their idols as they had previously, but they were trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for their eternal salvation. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren. It indicates the result of the believers in Phoenicia and Samaria hearing in detail about the conversion of the Gentiles. They caused, they were causing, they were bringing about or producing, and its tense indicates ongoing or repeated action in past time. This past Wednesday, we had Matthew Rose in our church declaring to us how his work in Kenya was going, and it brought joy to our congregation to hear that people were being saved and were being trained in the things of the Lord. Great joy suggests great gladness unto all the brethren as in all the brothers. And it means to all the believers in the various churches or assemblies where they shared the news of the conversion of the Gentiles. The Jerusalem Council is generally believed to have been held in AD 49. When Paul and his companions arrived in Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church, including the apostles and elders, and Paul and Barnabas reported on their missionary journey. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. And transitions to a new thought, and it's understood in the sense of then or now. When they were come to Jerusalem, where they refers to Paul and Barnabas and those who accompanied them from Antioch, It's used in conjunction with were received, indicating time. Its action occurred before the action of were received. You have to get there before they welcome you. It is understood in the sense of after they drew near or arrived in or were present in Jerusalem. They were received of the church and of the apostles and elders as they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they declared, which refers to Paul and Barnabas and those with them, as they gave account, they reported or they told, and what they declared was all things that God had done with them, what things God did with them. And it's been translated in a way which emphasizes the result of its action. It refers primarily to Paul and Barnabas' experiences in Cyprus and in present-day Turkey, but does not necessarily exclude things God accomplished through them in Antioch. Their statement assigned the complete credit for everything accomplished in their ministry to God. It is a reminder to us that credit belongs completely to God for anything and everything being accomplished here in the ministry of Calvary Baptist Church, rather than to any of us individual, and this includes me. It is God who is doing a work in our church. It is God, through His Word, that is doing a great work in your life and in mine. It's nice for all of us that are involved in this to be used by God, but it is God that's doing it. Let's always remember that. You want your children to live for the Lord? You can't force it. It's God who will bring it to pass. You want missionaries to be raised up? It is God who will bring it to pass. You want visitors to come and be saved? It is God that will take care of that. Now, you need to be what you're supposed to be, and you need to do what you're supposed to be doing. But if you don't do what you're supposed to do, God gets somebody else to do it. It's not a big deal to God. He can handle that. Give Him the credit. It's not because of any of us. In this meeting in Jerusalem, some saved Pharisees stated that it was necessary that Gentiles be circumcised and keep the Mosaic law. Verse 5 says, but there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed. Notice that, which believed. They were saved even though they were mistaken. It's not that they got saved because of their circumcision. They had been circumcised as Jews prior to their believing the gospel. But they were mistaken in what they were teaching. But it does clearly say they were believed, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and command them to keep the law of Moses. But it's the same word translated and at the beginning of verse 4. It's been translated as introducing a statement in mild contrast to verse 4. However, it may continue the thought of verse 4 in the sense of and, then, or now. There rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, is some of the ones from the sect or party of the Pharisees who had believed stood up, saying, by the way, when we get saved, we don't have all our doctrine straightened out, okay? You think about that. I came out of some things that I wouldn't go into today, all right? You understand that? I'm guessing some of you did too. I came out as an evangelical. I'm not an evangelical. I got rid of that. I'm not an interdenominationalist. I got rid of that. I'm a Baptist with a big B and a big A and a big P and so on. Okay, you understand? We aren't where we were the day we got saved. But God corrected a lot of things along the way, but we were still saved. That's what's happened to these folks. We don't know whether they accepted the results of the council or not. That isn't up to us to decide. They may not have. Then again, they may have. We hope they did, but we can't tell because it doesn't state it. They rose up saying, and what they were saying is that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses, where them refers to the Gentile converts. That it was needful to circumcise them means that to circumcise them is necessary. And to command them to keep the law of Moses is also necessary. And as I've already said, this would mean that the Gentiles would not only have to believe the gospel, but also that they would have to become Jews in order to be saved. Well, as a result of the Pharisees' claim that circumcision and keeping the Mosaic law were necessary for salvation, the apostles and elders assembled to consider their claim. Whenever a discussion of doctrine occurs, we must consult the scriptures as our authority. We don't have the apostles here, but we have their writings in the New Testament. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And is used to transition to the next thought in the narrative in the sense of then or now. The apostles refers to those who had been appointed to this office by Christ. The elders refers to the pastors in the church at Jerusalem. Came together is gathered or assembled for to consider of this matter means to deliberate concerning this matter or concerning this subject under discussion. After much discussion, Peter arose and reminded those present that God had saved Gentiles through his presentation of the gospel. And his comments continued through verse 11. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And transitions to the next thought in the narrative. It's understood in the sense of now or then. When there had been much disputing is used in conjunction with said, indicating time. Its action occurred before the action of said. And it's understood, therefore, in the sense of after much discussion came about, arose, or developed. Disputing is dispute or discussion. It might have been friendly. It might have gotten heated. We don't know. We weren't there. The same term was translated disputation in verse 2. Peter rose up. Is used in conjunction with said, and it's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to said, and its action occurred before the action of said. He waited to speak till after he had stood up. And what Peter said unto them, meaning to those who had assembled to consider the matter of the necessity of circumcision and keeping the law for salvation, continues through verse 11. Peter addresses those as men and brethren, by which he acknowledges that they were saved Jewish men. Ye know, where ye is you plural. It's emphatic and speaks of something with which they were all acquainted. How that is simply that. A good while ago suggests from old days, from former days, or from earlier days. God made choice among us, is God chose among us. Among us has been placed in a position of emphasis, which reads literally, God among us chose. And what God chose is that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe, meaning that the Gentiles through Peter hear the gospel message and believe it. The incident referred to was with Cornelius and those gathered with him in Acts 10. This may have occurred as many as 10 years before this council in Jerusalem. It wasn't just a couple of weeks before it. Verse 8 continues Peter's statement in verse 7. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, as he did unto us. How do we know they were saved? Because God gave them the Holy Spirit at that time. And continues the thought in verse 8. God, which knoweth the hearts, is the heart-knowing God, and it means that God knows the hearts of people who believe. He knows your heart, and he knows my heart also. He knows their genuineness and the genuineness of their salvation. Bear them witness means testified to them or testified for them, giving them the Holy Ghost is used in conjunction with bear witness, and it is indicating the means by which God testified to them. It's understood in the sense of by giving them the Holy Spirit. He is testifying that they were genuinely saved by giving them the Holy Spirit that day in Cornelius' house. And they had not been baptized, and they had not kept the law of Moses. Even as he did unto us is just as also to us. And us is referring to the Jewish believers who were given the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, which very well was 10 years before this. As indicated by the italics, he did, which refers to God, has been supplied by the translators. Now, Peter goes on in verse 9, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. And continues the thought of verse 8, put no difference between us and them, where us refers to believing Jews, and where them refers to believing Gentiles, is differentiated nothing or made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith, where there refers to believing Gentiles. And it's used in conjunction with put no difference, indicating a fact in addition to put no difference. It's understood in the sense of and purified or and cleansed their hearts by faith. By faith has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, by faith purifying their hearts. Verse 10 goes on with Peter's statement begun in verse 7. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Now suggests at the present time. It's modifying tempt, and it's referring to the action of some who were claiming that circumcision and keeping the law were necessary for salvation. Therefore introduces an inference in the sense of consequently, accordingly, then or so. Why tempt ye God? Where ye is you plural and refers to those promoting the necessity of circumcision and keeping the law for salvation. It is, why are you tempting God? Or why are you putting God to the test? God's will in this matter was demonstrated by his giving the Holy Spirit to Gentile converts apart from circumcision and keeping the law. These Jews who were claiming that circumcision and keeping the law was necessary for salvation were now doubting God and putting him on trial to see what he would do. to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples indicates the purpose of their tempting God. As you know, a yoke is a frame used to control working animals, or in the case of humans, to expedite the bearing of burdens. In this verse, yoke is used figuratively as a burden. The law is the yoke which these people would put upon the neck of the disciples. Keeping the law, including circumcision, would be a burden they would put on Gentile converts. And then he says, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. And it refers to the yoke or the burden, the law. Our fathers refers to the Jewish ancestors, and we, which is emphatic, refers to the Jews who were present in the assembly, which we were able to bear, which we were able to carry in the sense of we were able to sustain. And it means that they themselves had been unable to keep the law. Now they're trying to put this on the Gentiles. Verse 11 concludes Peter's statement. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Now, it doesn't say that they shall be saved even as we. That's instructive here. I'll explain it in a minute. But introduces a statement in strong contrast to the belief that circumcision and the keeping of the law were a requirement for salvation. We believe, where we refers to Peter and those who were standing with him in this assembly, against those who were promoting the idea of the necessity of circumcision and keeping the law for salvation, is that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Through the grace of our Lord Jesus has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, and this emphasis has been retained in the King James translation. What we believe is that we shall be saved even as they, that we will be saved in the manner or in the way in which, or in the same way, or just as, or just like they also will be saved. Both Jew and Gentile were saved by grace through faith. The word order of we, the Jews, shall be saved even as they, the Gentiles, is instructive. Both will be saved by faith. He does not say they, the Gentiles, shall be saved even as we, meaning even as we Jews are saved. And he's implying by being circumcised and keeping the law in addition to believing. The conclusion of the matter is this. It indicates that Gentiles do not have to become Jews in order to be saved. All right? Now, in the scriptures, salvation is always by grace through faith in Christ dying on the cross in order to pay for our sins, and in his subsequent resurrection from the dead. To add anything like keeping the law, like good works, like baptism, or like anything else we might do, perverts the gospel so that it will not save anyone. The gospel message is clear. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Trust that's helpful to you. Sometimes in Acts we find some confusing statements, but I hope we clear them all up by the time we complete the study of Acts, and then we'll have to go back through and review it, won't we, when we get all done. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you that we can study this portion of thy word. Help us, our Father, to always keep salvation straight, that it's by grace through faith in the atoning work of Christ on the cross and in his subsequent resurrection. Help us, our Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.